This is Omar Musni with UN News. Sea life and the ocean that sustains it is in very deep trouble, says the UN Special Envoy tasked with helping the world reach Sustainable Development Goal, SDG 14. But it's not too late to get there. Peter Thompson has spent the last year traveling the world, galvanizing governments, institutions, and individuals to follow up on the outcomes stemming from the 2017 Ocean Conference, which he championed in support of the SDGs. At UN Headquarters for High-Level Week of the General Assembly, Mr. Thompson spoke to Paulina Kubiak of UN News and told her a huge collective effort was needed now to save the ocean.
The big thing is to raise global consciousness about the trouble that the ocean is in. It is in very deep trouble, and the fact that we are still losing the battle on pretty much every front, whether you're looking at ocean acidification or deoxygenation or rising sea levels or changing ocean currents or you name it. On all fronts, we're not looking good. But of course, my purpose in being there is not to bring bad news, it's to bring the good news, which is that we have these plans to save the health of the ocean. And I refer, of course, to the Paris Climate Agreement, because well over half of the problems of the ocean come from climate change. And secondly, we have the 2030 Sustainable Development Agenda, specifically in the case of the ocean, SDG 14. So that's, as I say, what I'm really pushing as I travel from country to country, addressing governments and business and science communities and who are interested in this.
Now, you just brought up a number of different actors, governments, institutions. What is it that at the higher level, at the government level, what is it that can be done at that level? And then what is it that an individual can do to help save the ocean?
Look, everybody has a stake in this because it's an existential issue. Both climate change and ocean change are existential. Every second breath we take comes from the ocean. You have to address individuals. You have to, you know, get onto the media, and I've been doing a bit of that so that you raise that awareness amongst individuals, and they do have power. They're citizens, they're consumers, so they, an individual choice makes a big difference. But you have got to work it up. Nobody can do this alone, and no country can do it alone. One has to be addressing the multinational organizations, which I do, the NGOs, the individual governments. We're all in this together.
You're talking about the impact that one person can have. Right now, increasingly in the media, you see single-use plastics being banned. New York just got rid of its straws, for example. But there's some criticism that that's just not going far enough, you know, that it's not the straws that are the problem.
Yeah. It's funny, I hear a lot of sort of negative things about the straw campaign. I've heard that a lot this week. I just don't know why people are sort of giving them a hard time. I mean, obviously, it's not the answer, but it's part of the answer. Single-use plastic is a scourge. I'm old enough to remember when we didn't have it, and life was very nice without it. Thank you. Belittling the plastic straw movement, I sort of wonder where it's coming from, quite frankly, because every little bit helps. There are no silver bullets in this. And yes, plastic will be around forever, till the end of human civilization probably, but it has to be the right kind of plastic and the right kind of uses.
You had mentioned climate change earlier. There are satellite images from the Carolinas from Hurricane Florence where runoff from farms and other industries is literally dark black water pouring into the ocean. What is the connection between climate change and the ocean?
Well, the two are inseparable, of course. Ocean change, climate action, ocean action. For me, they're almost the same thing. You mentioned runoff from land. This is another key principle for me, that what is happening on land is what's affecting the change in the ocean. And the runoff that you referred to is, that's storm runoff, but there's everyday runoff through rivers and streams around the world of all sorts of problems for the ocean. I mean, we're talking plastic pollution already, but there's also agricultural runoff from excess fertilizers, there's industrial runoff, and the connection between what's happening on the ocean, on land, and the health of the ocean is inescapable. And I've been putting in a lot of work with the freshwater community as well, because SDG 6 and SDG 14 are very closely connected.
I wanted to ask you about overfishing. I was in Samoa a few years ago for the SIDS conference, and I remember speaking to one of the fishermen who lives right by the water, and he was saying, you know, we used to have fish. Then a bunch of other people came in from outside, took the fish away, and now we don't have it. So even the favorite fish that he used to enjoy for his family are gone. You're from Fiji, obviously just a short distance away. What are some of the stories that you're hearing from back home about what's happening?
Well, fishing is a very big topic, of course. It's a very important part of SDG 14, and I'm working closely with FAO on that in that regard. There are a lot of things happening in the fishing world at the moment, not all of them good. There's still 33% of the fish stock of the world which is being overfished. I personally have a great deal of faith in aquaculture. I think it's going to feed the world in the future, but we have to do it right. You know, I have to either get the right species, the right food, and the right methods of aquaculture. There's another thing which, you know, this, your Samoan friend might have been experiencing, which is that with ocean warming, because of GHG emissions in the atmosphere, there are significant things happening in the ocean, some of which we understand, some of which we're only observing the early stages of. You know, you can look at things like ocean currents changing. But one thing that's clearly going on is that species are moving from the habitats which we normally expect them to be in. And that is probably related to the fact that the tropics are going to be too hot for a lot of species, and they will move away from the tropics. And so you're seeing that up coastlines of new species displacing what you would normally see there.
You're the special envoy for the ocean, singular. That's always struck me as, you know, we're so used to learning about the oceans, the seas, everything else in school. Why the ocean?
There's only one ocean, but I do recognize the fact that there's a certain amount of H2O on this planet, and some of it's in lakes and rivers, and some of it's in the atmosphere. Most of it's, a great majority of it, of course, is in the ocean. But it's also why, as I said earlier, I think the connection between land and sea is really important, and I'm very happy that the Kenyan government, which is hosting the Sustainable Blue Economy Conference in Nairobi, November 26th to 28th, a very important international conference, that they their definition of sustainable blue economy includes lakes and rivers. So I'm really looking forward to seeing that interaction when we get out to Nairobi between the freshwater community and the saltwater community.